Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your live connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Hello, and welcome to today's inspiration. I am Lisa Berry, and I thank you so much for taking the time to listen and to connect. I love to connect with people and to connect with you, and I've blessed to be an on-air radio broadcaster in the Detroit area for many years, and super blessed to have this opportunity to connect with you here on BodyMindSpiritRadio.com. Yay, you found us. You have figured it out. It's internet radio, and it's the future. And you can listen to me live right here Wednesday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Or you can listen anytime you want on BodyMindSpiritRadio.com. Anywhere, anytime, on your phone, your iPad, in the bathroom, your PC. It is the future of radio, and you have found it. And I am so glad you are taking the time to listen right now. I try to look at life as lighthearted and loving as possible. I truly believe in the power of positivity. I realize that is easier said than done. A lot of people put that out there in the world, but I've earned my badge to say that. My early life was not that pleasant. I've been through many personal challenges with family and loved ones, but I believe I choose to wake up every day and expect something really great to happen. I believe true meaning can be found in life by helping others every day. It's not about me. It's about what I can do for other people. Otherwise, what purpose would my life have? And I feel stronger and stronger about what I've learned from my life's difficult moments. And I want to share that with you in hopes that I can make your life a bit brighter or happier. I mean, I'm all about doing things for other people. I've been through it. I've learned the lessons. We all have our ups and downs. Life is not easy. It's my fault for watching the Brady Bunch growing up and thinking every 25 minutes they would turn out all right. It doesn't necessarily. Life can be challenging, but everything comes from inside, knowing yourself, feeling calm, meditating, praying, whatever works for you. You just have to wake up every day and start fresh and start new. And I like to start out with something that may be happening right now or in the news, part of my show, today's inspiration. My new mantra is inspirational, informational. The show is still kind of a work in progress, but it's mostly about connecting with you. It's mostly about sharing what I've learned about life and love and what's important. Really, what's important is what's important to you. But if we want to be all current or what's going on, the last week, the very uber popular book, The Fault in Our Stars by John Green, opened as a movie. I believe it was the number one movie last week, earning about $48 million at the box office. If you're not familiar, it's a story about two teenagers with cancer who fall in love. I'm going to cry just talking about it. It's a very popular with teenagers, especially. But since I knew so many people who read the book, both my kids did, and loved it, I wanted to see the movie. Well, for someone who cries at coffee commercials, you know that one where the military guy comes home for the holidays, just brings a tear to my eye. And someone for me who pretty much experiences everything from the heart, this was a real tearjerker, and I wasn't the only one crying in the theater. As I said, it's a love story about two teenagers with cancer, and but there were some serious life messages in there, and that's what I related to. Well, actually, I've known several people close to me whose lives have been touched by cancer. My sister died from breast cancer at the age of 51, so maybe I was feeling some of that. But some of the life lessons or some of the things that I got out of the movie was the main question they posed was, maybe there is no point to life. We're all, you know, perhaps that's a religious question for you, and I certainly don't want to offend your beliefs, but certainly it makes one step back and wonder why there's so much drama, why people fret and fight and fuss, and when life is going to end the same way for everyone, as far as we know. So why not just enjoy the journey and do what you can to make every day better for someone else? I missed a point there, because the main point to me personally was, and we all are going to get something different out of it, everyone wants to know they matter. Everyone wants to be remembered and make a difference, know their life meant something, whether they live to be 20 or whether they live to be 100. I think I read this morning that the world's oldest person just passed away at the age of 111. People are living longer. But the point is, do you want a life of significance? Is that something you think about? Is that something you work towards? Certainly I do. Hazel, one of the characters in the movie, talked about she met this other guy, Augustus, and they both had cancer, and he wanted to do something great, and I don't want to be a spoil, give you a spoiler alert here, but he wanted to do something great before if he lost his battle with cancer. And she said, "Oh, you're all in oblivion, and in a million years, no one's going to remember anything." So it really touched my heart and made me think a lot, because I think we all want to have a life that matters. We all want to be remembered. We all want to make a difference. And I think that's why I found the movie, I'm talking about The Fault in the Stars, so touching and so sad, I guess, is because of that right there. I think that's something I think about a lot. I also think about having compassion in this movie. Because I'm a compassionate person, I was feeling their pain. What good is a life that is lived only for yourself? The movie is about two teenagers, as I said, both battling cancer. So they really only have this moment. And that's all any of us really has. Talking to someone recently who just received treatment for cancer, he said, "Oh, I don't really know how much time I have." To which I replied, "None of us do." And I'm not saying this to be a downer. I'm not saying this to make you depressed. I'm saying it to make you realize that this moment is the most important moment. Don't wait to get sick or to be struck by a tragedy to see the value in every day. Wake up and expect good things. I mean, you can do it. Yesterday probably was not a great day for a lot of people, but yesterday's over. That's why I like sunsets. It ends the day, and sun rises. It's a new day with new hopes, new thoughts, new possibilities. So fill your mind with positive thoughts and smile and have gratitude for all the good in your life. And maybe you don't have a big fancy house or drive an expensive car, but you woke up. That's a blessing right there in itself. And surely you can find one or two or 10 things to be grateful for. I walk around all day long, and I have this. I'm so grateful. And I know this person, and I'm so grateful. I try to fill my heart and my thoughts and my moment with gratitude, because it's been proven that gratitude can help change your brain, that there's a lot of energy going into positive psychology these days and training your brain. And I'm very excited that Dr. Rudy Tanzi is going to be our guest on July 2nd. He wrote a book with Deepak Chopra called Superbrain. He also works for Harvard. He's done a lot of research on brain diseases, and it's not even so much diseases we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about powering your brain and how you can change maybe even your genes. Alzheimer's, that's not a good sign that I could not remember that. He's done a lot of research on Alzheimer's. But so count your blessings. Why would you want to spend your day any other way than trying to be happy and focusing on what's good? It's all about perspective. It's all about what you look at. It's all about what you think about. Fill your brain with good thoughts and think about the things you are grateful for in your life. And lately I keep telling people, you need to meditate. And I think if you haven't ever meditated, maybe you don't connect with that or not, but meditation is so powerful. Every day I see and read and hear more things about how meditation can help you be a calmer, better person, and how meditation can change your life and, again, change your brain, because you're working on it that way. Really, it's not that difficult. It's nothing more than focusing on the present moment. Here we go again. We're all back about being in the now. And the easiest way to meditate is to simply focus on your breath. Not because your breath has some magical quality, but because it's always there with you, hopefully. So the challenge is to keep your attention on breathing. Your mind's going to wander. Believe me, I've been meditating for a while, and it's easy for your mind to wander, but you just breathe and bring your attention back to focusing on your breath. And maybe have a mantra just so you're not thinking about it. If you're just thinking, Deepak Chopra always says, "So hum." That says, just breathe and say, "So hum." And then that clears your mind of everything else. And one of my favorite meditation teachers is David G, DavidJi, all one word. If you want to look him up, he's a powerful communicator, and I find him very relaxing. And he used to always say, "Mind the gap." And I was too embarrassed to ask him what that meant, because I thought that meant there was a jean sale at the mall, you know, the Gap. But I found out what it means this week. It means whenever you find yourself waiting for the checkout line to move, for the traffic light to change, for the web page to load, get present. Instead of being impatient and wishing things could go faster, be grateful for the gift of that moment, for that 30 seconds or a minute or 2 minutes during which you have no obligations. Take that opportunity to mindfully breathe in, breathe out, and savor the moment. Mind the gap. So I'm so excited I finally found out what that means. If you're just new to this show or this type of thinking and you don't understand what I'm saying, I would love to talk. I love to talk to people. And here's the number, 646-378 646-378-0378. We have a guest coming up in about 5 minutes, but I can certainly talk to you now, 646-378-0378, if you want to find out more about what I'm talking about. Because, you know, I've heard all these things, and you see the posters and the little kitty cat hanging from the bar, hanging there, and I don't know if you really connect with it until you decide to connect with it, or you're forced to connect with it. I think that's what happened to me. I think my life was so challenging and so stressful, and stress is a killer. Stress will get you. Stress is not good for you. And I finally connected with all these things that I've been seeing and hearing and reading. And every day now I wake up and I see more and I feel more and I've learned more. And that's what this is about. And I want to share it with you, and maybe you agree with me and you'd like to talk about that, 646-378-0378. But I feel strongly about everything, and I'm still learning, and I love that. I wake up every day and I think, what am I going to learn from the world or the universe or God or whoever is out there today? What lesson is this for me? And that is something that I have learned, that you've been through the hard stuff, and challenges only help you grow. And I know you might think, well, yeah, sure, okay, that's what you want to tell yourself, but it's true. I feel like I've just learned so much through all the ups and mostly downs that I've been through. And as I said, I'm a moment saver. All we have is this moment, and I want to be in this moment. And nothing is more important than this moment. I think if you live in the past, you're living in fear. And if you're worrying about the future, then that brings on anxiety. So why not be in this moment now? And I really find myself just almost like putting a ring around it. If I'm sitting with someone or I'm doing something that I'm really enjoying, I will just stop and like take a mental picture. A lot of times I take a picture on my phone, which annoys some people, but I want to capture the moment, and I don't want to relive the past, because that was something I had a wide awakening to this week. I was going through my over 2,000 pictures on my cell phone, and looking back at my past year, wow, there were a lot of changes. Maybe that has helped me get to the place that I am now. I just had to get more peace inside myself. And I've been through a lot of changes in the past year, all documented by pictures on my cell phone. We all have our ways to remember these things. And it just made it super clear to me that I should not be living in the past. I should not be wishing for those days again. Like I was telling someone, she was saying she had a couple of young kids and wanted to be there for them while they were in school. And I said, that's right, because it'll go by fast. And it's not like you have to go to your kids' choir concert. You get to go to your kids' choir concert. Why else do you have kids if not to love them and nurture them and make them great future citizens? Being a mother is my biggest pride and joy in life. And I'm so glad that I was able to pour a lot of love on my kids. And I have two wonderful boys that I could not be more proud of. And it's just, you know, we have these babies and we have these people, and it's our job to make sure that they become happy, productive citizens out in the world. It all starts at home. That's another one of my new projects. It all starts at home. It all starts inside, and it's up to you. It's your choice. You have a choice. Life can be hard and stuff can happen, and believe me, I've been there, but I still want to be happy. I don't want to waste my time on this planet. We only have so much time, and none of us knows how much time we have. And I sometimes feel like I'm up above the planet. I know I'm sounding kind of weird, but looking down on life, and we're all just walking across the planet trying to do the best that we can. And life is not a competition. Unless you're running a race or in the Olympics or something that's an endorsed competitive sport, I feel strongly that life is not a competition. I don't do things for other people. I don't go places or buy things for anybody else. I do it because they make me happy. So again, it's a balance. It's a balance about keeping yourself happy and doing things for other people. I probably put other people before myself and need to do a little more work on my physical part of myself. But I just think that it's really important that you realize that everything is perspective. You have a choice. You can be as happy as you want to be, even if you have, well, I don't say if you have nothing. If you think you don't have the things that you want to have, you can still be happy. Everything is perspective. Your mind creates whatever you put into it. If you play small and you doubt yourself, well, that's what you're going to get in your life. And if you're confident and you're centered, it's all about balance. I'm so big on balance. Then you will be happy and successful. So really, it's a choice, and it's your perception. And this next thing I'm going to say is so important. What you perceive becomes your reality. So what you see, what you think you see, and it's your choice what to perceive. I always talk about I love to do public speaking, and I'm available to speak to your group or organization if you'd like. You can email me at lisaloveberry, B-A-R-R-Y, at gmail.com. And when I was starting out, as I said, I wasn't as fully connected to this thinking as I am now. I used to say, well, two people can look at the exact same thing and see something different. And one of my analogies I gave was sitting in the shoe department at Macy's. Huh. That's something we can relate to. And seeing all these shoes, and some shoes, I have been physically aroused by shoes. I love them. They make me happy. And then I'll look at some other shoes and go, who would wear those? But somebody's buying them. So it's okay. It's all perspective. What I like, you don't have to like. And I don't have to judge what you like. And I don't know if sitting in a shoe department is making it too simple, but really, that's what life is. Either way, you're going to see what you expect to see in the world. And I try to say that so often. It's what you get what you expect. I mean, I try to expect good things. I'm expecting a lavish vacation and a new car and lots of money so I can help out other people. I'm expecting that. I'm not quite seeing it yet, but I'm still expecting it because why not? Why not expect something good? Your brain really filters out all the information that's coming into it. So that's called envisioning, and you got to feel what it feels like to get what you want. You will recognize it. You will hear it. But your mind might subconsciously reject it. So that's something to think about. I'm very excited because we do have a special guest today. Let me see if I can get this going here. I'm sorry, it's the technical aspects that I'm still working on. She's an intuitive. She's a channel who aids you on your path by consulting with your soul, your spirit guides, and your angels, illuminating past lives and connecting with the souls and guides of others in your life. And you get the information you need for the highest good of all concerned. She co-founded and runs a group in Michigan called Intuitive Interactives. I'll get this right. Intuitive Interactives. And I'd like to say good morning and hello to Amy Garber. Amy, how are you?
Hello, Lisa. Good morning. I may sound bad, but I'm fine.
Oh, okay. I know, me too. I think it's the weather here in Michigan. It's a little rainy and it's a little humid, and I think it's affecting all of our sinuses. So I appreciate you so much for joining us today. Mm-hmm. Amy's been a guest on my show before, and because there was a big event coming up, and there is one in October, and we'll get to that. But I thought it would be fun to talk to her a little bit about what it's like or what it means to be in an intuitive and a channel. Can you tell us what that means?
Yes, and I hope you can understand me with this frog in my throat. I apologize.
Oh, you sound great.
Oh, okay. So I actually took classes to get in touch with my intuition. I did not think that I was special in any way, but I was just very interested. And now I know that everyone has some ability to some extent, and it depends on what your strengths are. In my case, I learned that I am good at having thoughts from spirit, for example, claircognizance. But as I've grown in my practice and I do readings for other people, I get information in a variety of ways. When I'm doing a reading or tuning in for someone to get information or for myself, I like to be in a meditative state, especially for longer readings and so forth. And but when you meditate regularly, it helps you raise the vibration to get to that point. And
did you always know you were like that? Were you like that as a child?
No, I was one of those people who just was always interested in the subject. Okay. And I think, you know, as I got older and was aware that you could take classes to exercise it, they call it a sixth sense or muscle. Some people have been that way since childhood, or they've mm-hmm. forgotten it. And some of us need to have it awakened, you know. So that's kind of what happened to me in taking classes. But having a strong interest in it, even as a child, was kind of a clue, I think, you know.
I have a lot of friends who I guess you would describe as traditionally religious. Can you be traditionally religious and have the interests and the talents and be a part of something that you are a part of as well?
I
ask that because I
question.
Think they're going to... Okay, I'm sorry, go ahead. You answer.
No, tell me what you're going to say.
No, I ask that because I think if they listen, are they going to be offended? Are they going to think, oh, I'm going outside my beliefs? Or because I think you can, but I want to hear what you have to say.
Yes, and of course I agree. If you're talking about traditional Bible, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, there are many examples of oracles, prophets. Those were people who were tuning in and getting information from source or God. So at least in terms of traditional Christianity, I would say that is not being intuitive or having psychic ability, connecting with angels and so forth, is completely in line with those teachings. And also with Judaism, there is a branch of Judaism where they study the Kabbalah, Kabbalistic Judaism. Some celebrities have made that famous over the years, and that also is more mystical, meaning teaching how you connect with source. So I think more and more I meet a lot of people who've come from traditional religion, especially Catholicism, who have opened up to wider expressions of that connection to the Lord. You know?
Well,
and that's how I define it.
I'll tell you an embarrassing story. When my mother, there was five kids in my family, three girls, and none of us had got middle names. So my mom would always kind of half jokingly say, oh, you can pick your middle name. So one day, I was, I don't know, maybe 4 years old, she was taking a nap, and I marched in a line of my friends. This is an absolute true story. And I said, tell them my middle name is Angel. Where that came from, why I thought that, why I even did that, I don't even know why. But I guess I'm always interested in angels, and I want to believe in angels. So tell us, let's talk about angels for a few minutes. What do you know about angels?
Angels are something, a topic or an idea that a lot of people feel more comfortable resonating with than thinking that they have spirit guides or that there are disembodied spirits out there, which is, you know, of course, is a different level of belief, I guess. Angels, of course, as I just mentioned, are found in both the Testaments and the Bible, both Bible books, I mean. My understanding and from other sources I've read and consulted and heard channel, angels are those who have never incarnated on earth. They have been pure spirit. They remain pure spirit. Mostly, if they can present themselves in bodies on earth that seem solid. I know many examples of that. People have told me stories about that. I've felt angel presence in my life many times. I'm not completely clear that I've seen a person that I thought later was an angel myself. So they can materialize in that way, but they've never had incarnations on earth.
See, now that's where I think of guardian angels. I think of people that have been on earth that have passed or are watching over you. Is that something you're into?
That is a term. I don't think it denotes the type of angel I'm talking about that's never incarnated, but that's more of a role. Yes, like often people, clients will tell me they feel that their grandmother, say, is in spirit and she's acting like their guardian angel, which makes sense as well. Yeah, people seem to find angels less threatening of an idea and gravitate toward them.
Mm-hmm. What does it feel like to be in the presence of an angel? You said you experienced that.
Yes, and I also connect with people's angels and guide departed loved ones when I do my readings. And angelic presence is very, that's hard to put in words sometimes, like some of my work, because I was going to say the way I get intuitive information, I get thoughts, I also get pictures or images in my mind, I get feelings, so it's kind of like a holographic experience. With angels, I would say it's a very pure vibration, very high resonating vibration. You feel very peaceful, very, very loving, very calm, you know. I think when I've experienced that in my own life and others who I know who have shared that, that's often if an angel comes in a time of distress, then the peace and the love and the calm comes over people. That's how I describe that.
Can you call or bring an angel into your life?
Yes, absolutely. And in fact, the other point I was going to make from my own readings and experience and other things, other people's channel information and anecdotes, that you need to ask, in fact, for an angel for help. They cannot pass on our free will. When we come to Earth, it's a free will universe, and we need to specifically ask the angels that is their mission, is to stand by and assist when asked. Sometimes it's a plea for help. We may not specifically know who we're addressing, or we may not say, you know, angels, please help, although I like to do that. And you do not need to know the names of the angels who are assigned to you, but it is important to ask.
We're talking to Amy Garber. She is out of Ann Arbor, Michigan, right? Because people could be listening all over the world to us right now. You're also a Reiki master. What does that mean? What is a Reiki master?
And we pronounce it as Reiki.
Reiki, I'm sorry.
It's hard to know. It's Reiki. Two Japanese characters. It's a Japanese word. R-E-I-K-I. I remember
Reiki.
It, how to pronounce it. I think of rays or light, and actually my first teacher was named Ray Golden, so that was I connected his name with the pronunciation.
Okay, I'll never get it wrong again. Reiki, what is I've heard of it. I just wanted you to explain to people listening who may not be familiar.
Absolutely. So I took several levels of Reiki to attain Reiki Master level, and it might be considered like hands-on healing, although it doesn't need to be hands-on. It's a type of energy work. So it's a series of attunements that we get as we learn Reiki to open up our energy portal to the divine source. And typically, one's energy vibration is raised. That when you send energy to people with your hands, I know when I first took Reiki 1 and since then, the hands will often heat up and be very hot. So you don't need to put your hands on others when you're doing Reiki on them, and they will often feel it anyway. And also from a distance, as you attain Reiki 2 and higher levels, you can send it at a distance to someone who's not there next to you. You can send it into the future. You can even send it into the past. There's no limit. And it's a type of energy work that has been studied scientifically and is actually approved to be used in many hospitals. I have friends who have been paid to work at hospitals in Michigan to give Reiki.
So you're sending out positive energy and transferring it to somebody else?
Yes, that's a way to describe it. Or whatever they need. We need to have permission when we're sending Reiki, so if person has contracted us or requested it or agreed to receive it from us, then that's preferable. If it's someone who, let's say, like my stepfather currently, is not able to communicate, he's on a ventilator in a facility. Mm. So in meditation, I ask for his soul's permission and I get an answer. And there's various ways that you can get confirmation of that. And we also believe that they take it for healing or whatever. The intention is important, and intention would always be that the person sending the Reiki is sending it to the other person for their highest good, whatever they need, what their soul needs. It may be to be calm as they prepare for transition in the case of where I think my stepfather is headed, and not necessarily for his healing because it's not his full path at this time. Mm-hmm.
Well, sorry to hear you're going through that right now. I think everything is energy, and so I guess I'm so interested in that because I feel other people's energy when I'm with them, and sometimes it's negative energy, and then I kind of have to put myself in a box. But I like to have a positive exchange of. And I'm also a cynical radio reporter. I've done that for many years, so I want to ask you: do you have to believe to receive, or can you send some energy to somebody? I know you said you have to have their permission. But the person receiving the Reiki, do they have to be open to it and believe it, or can it work even if they're cynical?
That is a good question. And again, you can ask soul level permission if it's someone you can't say talk to for whatever reason, or you're not in communication with them, or you don't know, have a direct, you know. But say like right now, we've heard that Tracy Morgan, the comedian and actor, is in the hospital in critical condition. Yeah, he had he was in a car accident over the weekend. So I could try to tune in, even though I don't directly know how to contact him, and see whether he's his soul is wanting this, for example. And neither would he need to believe in it for it to work, just like prayer. Again, there have been scientific double-blind studies done about the healing aspects of prayers where people don't know they're being prayed for and so on, and that group still has marked improvements in their health over a control group who were not prayed for and so on.
As an intuitive and a channel, do you think you can sense if Tracy Morgan is tuning in to this going out? Can you sense a person and if they're tuned in or aware at all?
I would try to do that, yes. I mean, the less of a connection I have to the person, it could be where I get a feeling that I'm not to disturb or he's not, his soul is not available. His soul is resting as part of this healing process or so on. So I don't think I would want to do that live and compromise his possible privacy. But that is something that intuitives could do. And anyone with good intentions can do. I think the intentions are the most important.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like the prayer comparison because, you can pray for anybody and they don't have to even know about it. And it can still make a difference in their life. I'm so into all of this, and I think about it, and I read a lot about it, but I don't know if I've really gotten that much into souls. Are you saying you can sense someone else's soul, and what do you mean by that?
Mm-hmm. Are you, you're asking about, like, another human being, like we were talking about Tracy Morgan, for example.
Yeah, can you sense my soul? And what is a soul, in your opinion?
Lisa, you always get into such deep, wonderful questions.
I told you I love to think about this. And I know we didn't discuss anything that we were talking about, and if you don't want to go there, that's just say, you know what, another time.
I do. Okay. Oh, yeah, okay. Absolutely, I do.
Okay.
No, it's a very good question. And, of course, that's the question of the ages, you know, that people have. That's why religions were built around trying to figure out what is the meaning of life, why are we here, do we exist after the body dies? And the thing that I think all religions have in common, from my knowledge, is that there is a soul and there is existence after life. So this kind of circles back to your question earlier about people who come from a traditional religious background. You know, those religions do say that we exist after the physical body. That's what we would call the soul. It shouldn't be a hard leap. I'm taking a side trip here for a second. It shouldn't be a hard leap to then accept that we can live on after our body, and those souls may be able to be contacted or be here on the physical plane to be contacted, that the difference in belief may be where they go after they pass from the physical body. Do they go to heaven and no one can contact them, or only priests or so on? Anyway, so we carry our souls with us in our bodies. Those are something we would call like the higher consciousness. I'm not sure if that's – I think the term might be like in Freudian psychology, the superego. I'm trying to remember my psychology now. But different philosophies have studied this and have terms for this same thing. When I do readings for people, I ask to connect with their soul, with their higher self, that is always present, but it might be what some people might call their conscience, or it's running in the background. And that's, I think, part of the goal of meditation, is to connect with our higher self, the part that's always connected to the divine and also the collective consciousness, because we're all one. We all are connected at the same point to the divine source, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. Yep, I hear you.
So yeah, that's a hard thing to define, the soul.
Well, but so I hear what you're saying, and I agree. So, but you're walking through your everyday life, and can you? I guess I feel like you and I are kind of having a soul connection right now. But can you just walk by somebody and have one? Because you're an intuitive. You can read. You do readings, so you're a pretty sensitive, perceptive person. Does it just come to you, or do you have to work at it?
to connect with someone else at a soul-to-soul level?
Yes.
Yeah, I think everybody can do this when they open their heart, let's say, and you could physically feel your heart chakra, which is in the center of your chest, not surprisingly near your physical heart. You can imagine it and pretend that it's opening or actually feel it, see it, that you're wanting to bring love to the forefront and to connect with another person that way, heart to heart. I usually like to do it by looking in someone's eyes. You know, some of these things that we've grown up with or have had in our culture, like the eyes are the windows of the soul, I believe that's literally true. And when you look someone in their eyes, you know, often we're going about our day or we're looking at something else or we talk to people and we know they're there, but we don't look right at them. If you look deep into somebody's eyes, not in a weird way where they think, oh, you know.
And that's got me thrown out of a few places, but that's another story.
Yeah. Yeah, right. But just just looking at someone and acknowledging, I'm paying attention to you, I'm listening to you, I'm connecting with you, you know. I think that's a really good way to make a soul connection with someone without thinking that you know you're intuitive. And again, intending to do that is very important. You know, if you're going to an important meeting or a stressful situation or needing to have, you know, potentially upsetting conversation with a family member, I mean, who knows? You can intend that you want their soul and your soul to be present at really so that they're aware that at some level it softens everything, you know.
See, maybe that's what I'm looking for. I love what you just described. I love to meet people, and I love to look them eye to eye, and I love to connect with them on a deeper level. And I don't know why. Maybe I just think that makes life more worth living, you know, instead of just we pass by a lot of people, and everyone's so self-absorbed and involved in their own stuff. No one's really I shouldn't say no one, but a lot of people don't seem necessarily that interested in making that connection. And I feel like that's what life's all about.
Yeah, and I think it can be, it makes us vulnerable. And, you know, people may be shy about doing it. But I would invite our audience to do that the next time they're, even let's say in a store, you know, to look at the clerk. It might be hard if the clerk isn't looking at you, but at some point your eyes might meet. But if you're paying attention and intending to do this, instead of looking down at, or looking away, you know, or looking at what they're wearing or whatever, and smile at them, it says volume, you know.
That's my new thing. It's like you never know. I was walking out of working. I was working at a radio station last night, and it was 10 o'clock at night, and the guy was mopping the floor. The floors were beautiful. He did a really good job. And I said to him, I said, hey, because I said, these floors look great. And I think it meant something to him because that is his job. That's what he's doing. Mm-hmm. And I think it was important to him to do that. It was no big deal. I meant it. You know, he did a good job, and it looked good. And I thought, if I can perk him up or make his day or help him out a little bit, I would want to do that for him. Amy Garber is who we're talking to. She's based in Ann Arbor, Michigan. She runs a group called Intuitives Interactive for Intuitives Indigos. What's an indigo?
An indigo is a term that was coined when a certain higher vibrational, a certain level of children were being born. I think roughly we could say 30 years ago, but it was a time span. But I forget the woman's name right now, I'm sorry, who was aware that she could see their aura had a particular indigo color. A lot of these children she was coming across who were also highly sensitive. The same sensitivity as the autism spectrum exactly, although they have also been postulated that a lot of children on the autism spectrum are very highly sensitive and can be psychic and, you know, in that sense too. But indigo children often are come in remembering where they came from, what our purpose is here on earth and their purpose, you know, the love for other people, being very sensitive to energy. They might have abilities that maybe some of us in the baby boomer generation and so on have lost. Since we were little, they retain theirs, like maybe they can see chakras or auras and so on. So that term indigo actually comes from the color and the aura that this author was seeing. Yeah.
And you're also part of your group is light workers. What does that mean?
Yeah, so we're trying to describe a variety of people who are waking up in the world today, some of whom, what's nice about this group that it's attracted a variety of people, some of whom have been studying these things for 40 years or 20, 30 years or have been aware since they were children that about these things. Light workers is kind of a general term that many of us use that indicates that we study and understand or are, believe in metaphysics, things that are above physics, the sixth sense, sending energy, auras, chakras, et cetera, things that may not be commonly proven with the current five senses or some of the current technology. They want to do good in the world. They feel they have a mission or a purpose to serve. So light work is kind of a general term, the way I would define it.
Okay, so you do readings. Do you find people are always saying, oh, Amy, read me. What do you feel or what do you see? Do you feel like you always have to be on or sensing what's going on with other people? I'm asking because I want to know about me. No. I do and I don't because it's like you can tell. Do you ever have to say negative things? Because I don't want it to become a self-fulfilling prophecy, you know, if it's bad things. Or would you tell someone if you were sensing something negative about them?
Well, you're asking really good questions. To address the first one briefly, yeah, there have been times when people kind of they ask, you know, what do you think about that? And if it's in the appropriate place, I will try to help and tune in if I can and tell them what comes, which is part of trusting the intuition and having the intention to get higher information and not just from your ego or your own self-experience. Not that that isn't helpful. You want to help people, but and the other side of that coin is often people just assume that I have godlike powers and I can see everything, and they would say, oh, well, you probably already know this about me and blah, blah, blah. And I'll be like, well, no, I need to tune in. Now, there are some people, I'm sure many, who have more advanced gifts. Or I know one friend, after she had her Reiki attunements originally, and it may have even only been Reiki level one with her, her energy level was raised so much, her vibration, that she would see little pictures on people's foreheads as they were passing her in the hall at work, even about something that was on their mind. So she could see. But, you know, that went away after a while because she didn't keep practicing Reiki. And also it can be a burden. You know, we don't want to be godlike and hear and know everybody's thoughts and everything. I don't think it's possible. It would be very difficult to operate through the day on a regular basis if you're constantly getting other chatter and, you know, without filtering, you know. And plus, to me, there's a level of intention and appropriate permission. You know, if someone asks me to tune in, then I will. I mean, there will be times when I pick up on things, of course. You know, that's part of exercising your gift, or I'll think about somebody and then they'll call me and, you know, I've connected with them at some level. But, yeah, it's a misunderstanding, at least for me and a lot of psychics I know, to think that we're tuning in to everybody all the time. That's kind of, I wouldn't even want to be doing that.
Right. But so here you are, you're this intuitive psychic, you're sensitive, and, you know, you've been through some challenging times lately. Does this help your perspective? Does this help you get through the day? How does this all come together for you, Amy Garber, as you live your life? And what can you tell other people?
Well, that's all right. That's a good question. I think it's very important to get in touch with our intuition. If you also believe in the spirit guides and angels and so forth, wherever the higher sources that you're connecting with, our higher self, our soul would be good enough as a start to connect our intuition to our daily life. I call it, when I talk about our at the Intuitive Interactive Group, like our inner GPS, you know, our inner global positioning system to help us make our way in the world. It's advantageous to help us make decisions, for example, to get a feeling for should I start this project today? Should I take this way home from work? How should I approach this problem? There are many ways to get the information, but it's very good to hone our intuition, our connection to our soul, our higher self, in other words, or those other higher, like angels and guides, to help get the information. The intuition would be something that comes fast, too, I would say. Often people tend to doubt it. I don't know if you remember from your days of test-taking when we were students, some of the really rigorous standardized tests, and the advice would be, you know, usually to your first inclination, the first answer that comes to
right.
you is usually the right one, and then people doubt it and go back and change things. They overthink it. I would say probably in some cases it was our intuition helping us as much as our intellect.
Mm-hmm.
And that's often why people come to my group, Intuitives Interactive, because they think they're getting information, but they're doubting it, or they're not sure, is this me and it's my ego's thoughts? Am I getting it from somewhere else? Can I trust the intuition? How do I get more of it? And so on.
I think I'm a very intuitive, sensitive person, but I am not good at making decisions. How is that for a quandary? What do you do with that?
Oh, well, I guess...
Trust your intuition, I think I'm hearing you.
Yes, and exercise it, you know, and what kind of decisions are you making? Are they, you know, split-second ones because you're in the radio business or do you have time? You know, other things that would take longer that you could ask for help with for your decision-making, you know, if that's the case and you have more time. When I do readings often, my guide, working with the other person's guides and their soul, will often give exercises or what I like to call homework to when it's appropriate for the person to help them access their intuition. You know, if you need to make a decision, a great way I learned from my teacher, Shayla Kilmer, is you can write it on a piece of paper, because often people have different sensibilities that are stronger. Those
mm-hmm.
who can feel physically easier than getting the thoughts or visual pictures mentally, you can write it on a piece of paper, a question, or you could write the decision like, yes, I'm going to put my house up for sale, or should I put my house up for sale? And you put it, you can hold it, you get in a calm meditative state, however you're able to do that, because another common thing I hear, people often don't think they can meditate or calm their mind, so that's a different subject for a whole another
right.
Show probably.
I talked about that at the beginning of the show.
Oh, okay, I missed that, yeah. And hold it to, usually we say your third chakra, which is your just below your navel, your feeling and emotional chakra. And so you would do you get a feeling? Does it feel like tingly? Is it positive tingly, or does it feel kind of nervous, like not so good? You know, so those who are more able to get physical messages and feel energy more easily might be able to get an answer that way. And it's coming from your own body. Your own body is the instrument that your soul is working with. That would be the subject for another. In fact, that's on this Sunday. That's the first Sunday in July. That's the subject of our Intuitive Interactive group is muscle testing. Otherwise known as applied kinesiology, where the body can give us answers, and there are various ways to do that. So, because your soul is working with your body, mm-hmm. has a lot of wisdom.
Awesome. Well, it all comes down
to have trouble.
Uh-huh. All comes down to exercise.
Yes, practice.
All right. Amy Garber, here's your chance to give a shout out to all your groups and how we can contact you. And I so appreciate you joining us today. So if someone wants to join your group, how do they find out about that?
Well, thank you, Lisa. And yes, those who might be curious and not sure whether they have intuitive powers, but they are drawn to this for some reason, we have a whole range of people, as I said, who are experienced and newcomers and all ages and races. It's just a great thing every time people show up. Intuitivesinteractive.com is our main website. The S is on the first word, intuitivesinteractive.com. We also have a meetup.com page if people join that meetup.com, which is for interest groups and hobbies and things.
Yeah, I just discovered that last week.
Yeah,
look, go to meetup.com.
Yeah,
and you can. Yeah, there's so many different things on there. That is so cool. Good luck to your father-in-law. You know, I know you've been through a lot lately, and I really appreciate I feel like you and I have a soul. Whether you feel it or not, I feel a soul connection with you, Amy Garber. And that's why I wanted to have you back on the show. And thank you so much for joining us today. And if I can be of any service to you in the future, please stay in touch, okay?
Thank you so much, Lisa. It's always great talking to you, too.
All right, that's Amy Garber from Intuitives Interactive. They're based in Ann Arbor, Michigan. So if you're listening in Michigan and you want to be a part of that, you can find them online. Or you can email me, lisaloveberry, B-A-R-R-Y, at gmail.com. That's my email address. I'm happy to speak to your group. I'll email you back. I love to email. As I said, I love to connect with people. It doesn't have to be a soul connection. It can be any kind of connection because we're all walking this earth together and just trying to get through the best way that we can. So, again, Lisa Love Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, at gmail.com. I am on right now on Twitter. It's at Lisa_Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. I'm available to speak to your group or organization, and I'd love to hear from you. And thank you so much for listening. Remember, inner peace brings outer strength. You are what you think you are, and I'm looking forward to connecting with you at this time next week.